It's Chicago's Afternoon News with Steve Bertrand, but I'm Matt Bubala filling in today. And starting Monday, January 3rd, Lisa Dent is on the air with Steve Bertrand. They're going to start from 2 p.m., though, 2 to 6 p.m. Chicago's Afternoon News starting next week. I'm here with you for the next couple of days, though. Thanks for hanging out with us on your drive home or as you're hanging around the house getting ready to make some dinner. Joining us on the phone right now is Dr. William Schaffner. He is a professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Vanderbilt University and a good friend of the show. Hey, Dr. Schaffner, how are you today, sir?
Good to be with you, Matt. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much for being with us. We're hoping that by now we'd be having better conversations than this, Dr. Schaffner, but here we go. Things getting much, much worse again as we head into 2022. What's your overall feeling on, you know, I think that we all have the general understanding now that, listen, the vaccine was not to 100% prevent you from getting COVID. What the vaccine was for was to 95%, 92%, 85% of the time keep you out of the emergency room if you get COVID. So we're seeing a lot of breakthrough cases and hopefully people staying relatively healthy with it, but the spread is moving faster and faster with Omicron. What is your latest thought on what's going on right now?
Well, Matt, you've got that down exactly right. This Omicron variant, which is so contagious, is spreading almost like wildfire, and that is because it can spread to people who are fully vaccinated, but gives them either no symptoms or only a very, very mild illness. And that's good, because it keeps you out of the hospital. But what it does mean is, for the next period of time, particularly with all of our traveling and getting together, that we anticipate an increase in hospitalizations in the beginning of 2022. Most of the hospitalizations still, by far, occur among unvaccinated folks. And what we hope to do is try to persuade those reluctant friends and neighbors of ours to come on in with the rest of us, get vaccinated. Those who haven't had their booster yet, please get that. And parents, bring in the children. They're 5 years of age and up. They're eligible for vaccine. Let's get them protected also.
Do you? So you're saying that for the most part, it's people that have not been vaccinated who are getting the virus more easily. People are getting it who have been vaccinated. This is getting breakthrough cases, but it's the people who have not been vaccinated. What about people who have, compromised immune system, things like that? Is this really affecting them in a stronger way?
Well, first of all, unvaccinated people are the folks we're most concerned about, because if they get infected, they could be hospitalized. So that's the big issue with them. And then folks who are immunocompromised, I trust most of them are as completely vaccinated as they can be and are really taking careful precautions, because, yes, breakthrough infections among immunocompromised people can also be serious, and some of the hospitalizations are occurring among those folks, too.
Okay, so it's moving fast, and now the CDC says, so here's the tough part, Dr. Schaffner, because we want to listen to the scientists and, you know, say, hey, everybody, we got to get vaccinated, and we're trying to be more cautious and wearing our masks and doing all the things, and then the CDC says, you know what, we can cut the quarantine time down to 5 days, and that's great, you know, that's less cumbersome for everybody. Is that a little worrisome, though, that that's putting more people back together maybe before they should be?
Yeah, you can see the CDC walking the tightrope, right? Trying to take good science and apply it to public policy that is widely accepted, because there's a great pressure to get back to some semblance of normal. And we know the healthcare environment is stressed because people are out on quarantine. You've seen that happen with the airlines. Never mind both college and professional sports. All of them have gotten a lot of publicity. So the CDC is trying to maximize protection and keep the risk as low as possible and have the policy accepted. So they've come down in a Solomon-like fashion saying, if you don't have symptoms after 5 days, you can put on your mask and re-enter society. It seems a reasonable thing to do. We'll see if there's compliance.
Yeah, and you know, going into the winter season and the flu season, it's just a, you wish it was more summer, right? When people would be outdoors more and things like that, where it seems like, you know, the positivity rate isn't as bad. But now that we're all indoors, we have flu and everything else that's going to start going around too, it seems like a little more of a risky time of year. Hey, real quick, before we have to take a break for weather and traffic, but I want to ask you, somebody says, how can we be sure about the accuracy of the positivity rate with all the at-home tests that are now being done?
Yeah, well, the best data are the hard data, hospitalization and deaths. The positivity rate has been influenced by folks testing at home and not reporting that information. Of course they won't, to the state health department. So those data are a little like looking at the mountains in the distance. You can see the up curve and the down curve, but don't rely so specifically on the numbers.
We're speaking with Dr. William Schaffner. He's a professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Vanderbilt. When we come back, Israel is testing out a fourth shot. Is that where we're headed? We'll talk about the booster, but also the possibility of a fourth shot. And is there a possibility of lessening effectiveness the more shots we have to take? And this is Chicago's Afternoon News. Matt Bubala sitting in with you today. Dr. William Schaffner from Vanderbilt University is a professor of infectious diseases. He's on the phone with us talking about the latest on COVID and Omicron and five-day quarantines and vaccine mandates and all of that good stuff. Dr. Schaffner, I was reading that Israel, they are testing out a fourth shot. We're still trying to get everybody to get that third shot, but where do you think this is headed with a fourth shot? And are you concerned about decreasing effectiveness the more shots we end up taking?
Well, at the moment, I'm actually not terribly concerned because, as you were saying, if you get infected with Omicron and you've been fully vaccinated, you only get a very mild infection. So I'm not too concerned about that. I have not yet seen the Israeli data that would suggest that their healthcare workers need that fourth dose. I'd be very curious about that, and I would hope we didn't have to go there because, as you and I know, there's real vaccine fatigue out there at the moment.
For sure. And how do people weigh? So say you got your two shots, and then you, in fact, this is my brother-in-law. He just had COVID last week. He had been double vaccinated, wasn't eligible yet for his booster. That would have come next month. So what does he do now? Does he still get that booster shot? Does he wait longer? How do people play that out? Because there's going to be so many people, right, who've been double vaccinated and then gotten COVID with Omicron going around. What do they do then about the booster shot?
Well, if you've had Omicron, whether or not you've had some previous one or two doses of vaccine, you should get your booster. And I would wait just about a month after recovery. That's not absolute, but a lot of doctors are suggesting folks who've recovered from COVID who are in that circumstance get their booster at that time. What that does is really raise antibody levels very high, and you ought to have substantial protection for quite a long period of time.
You know, it's interesting because I think a lot of us think, well, I got it, so now I built that up. Now I'm ready for it. Like that was a booster in and of itself. But you're saying, no, even if you got it, wait a month and then go get that booster. That, to you, is the best, most effective course.
Yeah, the data would indicate quite clearly that although you do get some natural protection from the vaccine, getting the boost afterwards really improves the amount of antibody that's circulating in your bloodstream.
Is there a way eventually, I don't know what you're seeing in your crystal ball, Dr. Schaffner, but is this just what we're going to face now? Are you and I going to be having this conversation 3 and 4 years from now because it's going to become the flu, except just more deadly, that there's going to be more variants? Or are we getting to a place where this is sort of how it's going, that we're talking right now about these cases, but the deaths aren't as bad as they were originally, and eventually this is just going to sort of weaken, as long as enough people are taking the shots, to a kind of flu-like state where we're going to be telling people to get their COVID shots every year like we do the flu shot?
Well, I think you're on the right track, Matt. What we hope is to finally get beyond this pandemic phase, and then COVID will smolder amongst us. Yes, new variants could appear from abroad, but we would anticipate, not to anyone's surprise, that periodically we would have to get a booster dose, the way we do with our annual flu shots. In fact, the vaccine scientists are working now to try to create a combined influenza and COVID vaccine, so you only have to roll up one arm instead of two.
Do you see, down the road, is that what it's just going to be, that we'll just kind of accept this and this is part of life, that we missed our opportunity maybe to eradicate this? Or was there never an opportunity to eradicate this? If 95% of the people had gotten the shots within the first year, would it be insanely different than this? Or do you think we'd maybe be talking about the same things?
I think we would be talking about the same thing. This is such a contagious respiratory virus that I think none of us in public health or infectious diseases anticipated that we could eradicate, totally eliminate COVID, that it was now part of the human condition and would continue to circulate, and we would have to cope with it as we cope with influenza, hoping down the road for both better flu vaccines and better COVID vaccines. In fact, there's a colleague of ours who's trying to work on a universal COVID vaccine that would protect against all kinds of variants. But that's still a gleam in his eye. We hope that he'll have success.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Is that even possible? Because you could protect against whatever variants you know about, but is it possible for him to protect against variants that have not developed yet?
So here's the trick. Scientists are doing this with flu, too. There are parts of the virus that change. It's a little like putting on different sport coats. You're the same on the inside, but the sport coats are different. And at the moment, we're trying to make vaccines against the different sport coats. But if you could find that part of the virus that's the same in all the different variants, mm-hmm. We call it's conserved, and if you could make a vaccine against the conserved part, then you could protect against the whole spectrum of flu viruses, and COVID viruses also.
Well, we've been battling the flu for so long. Has nobody tried to do that with the flu before, or is this just really the holy grail and quite impossible to possibly ever get to?
It's not impossible, but a lot of scientists are working on that. We're closer now than we were 10 years ago. We're just starting this same kind of process with COVID, and one of our colleagues is going down that route, and he thinks he's on to something, and we wish him well.
In the 1918 flu epidemic, people were wearing masks, they were required to, all those things. The flu has stayed, you know, ever since. It's not been as deadly, but we quit wearing masks. 10 years from now, are we going to be wearing masks on airplanes, or will all of that eventually subside?
I think much of it will subside, but it won't disappear. You know, so many people now are used to seeing folks with masks. I think even during our regular annual flu seasons, you will see older persons, people with underlying illnesses, the immunocompromised folks. They'll open up their chest of drawers, get out their masks, and put them back on because they know their work and they know that they are particularly susceptible to severe disease. So I think we will see some of these interventions integrating themselves more and more into our routine practice.
Dr. William Schaffner, and the professor of infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University. Sir, have a very happy new year. We'll talk to you in 2022.
And we hope the news is better, Matt.
Yes, we do. Thank you, sir. We certainly do hope so. That would be nice.